This is the Rob, Anybody, and Dawn Show. 3 decades of settling arguments like, is a hot dog a sandwich? You're welcome. And now back to Rad Radio.
A couple emails, rad@radradio.com. Kyle properly identified the fear porn story. Big old headline. America's preparing for World War III as they get new doomsday planes. We've had doomsday planes since 1974. We're just updating the fleet. One has nothing to do with the other. Doomsday planes are planes that are ready and able to carry various leaders of the country around in the air in the event of nuclear war so that the country can continue to be run, the military can be ordered around, things like that.
And they could stay up in the air for extended periods, like way longer than a normal plane could. Yeah.
Right? And that's why it's $13 billion for four of them.
Jeez.
And Matt went the lazy route. And you know, Dawn was making the point through humor. I didn't need to stop the show, but now I do. Because you know, Matt says, if we're getting bombed, isn't it our leader's fault? Sure. You can make that argument, blah, blah, blah. My question back to you without the blah, blah, blah is, and what are you suggesting? Who takes over then? Okay, it's Biden or Trump's or whoever's fault, quote, quote. It's always the president's fault, Democrat or Republican for everything. What? So what? We're getting bombed. It's their fault.
What was the point of that?
Somebody has to take over. So the way the system is designed is that the person duly elected take. Look, I know that our confidence, as Americans, our confidence is an all-time low in government, in general, et cetera. Yeah. But these stupid... Exactly. What was the point of that? Here's the fun one. Christine says, I absolutely love Rob's impressions of our presidents. My favorite, I think, is still President Obama. thank you, Christine. Appreciate that. Haven't been out much. In fact, last time you heard from me was when Michelle said, no, I'm not. I'm not running for president. I said, of course not. Why would you? We're already running the country from the shadows. I knew it. I knew that's what was going on. I've been saying that the whole time. It is not extraordinarily great. We didn't need a third Obama term. We need a second Trump term to make America great again. Stupendous. Thank you, Christine. Let's get unserious and go to some entertainment news.
Overture, yeah. Curtain and lights. It's time for entertainment news.
I am still working on my Biden impersonation. Thank you, Brandon, for sending over the Dana Carvey stuff. As I said, any impersonations that I do well, because some are awful, like, hi-yo, Kermit the Frog here, whatever.
Yay!
The only ones I do well, I do them not from watching the person, but from watching another person imitate them. I don't know why it works that way.
It helped. And that's, you know what they do? They watch tapes of all the people they're impersonating.
I know, but yeah, see, that's exactly. That's what makes sense. Why do I have to see someone else impersonating them?
I see, because maybe, like, maybe it helps you know that you can do it too.
Yeah.
Right, okay, look, the confidence booster. All right, so entertainment news, and this is fighting words. I realize that already, but it's the best example I can give. My wife pulled a Dawn this morning, so I'm in for trouble when I get home for saying that. But she happened to be awake this morning working on legal stuff. And so I know people and being committed to their careers and things. So as I'm doing show prep at like 2:45 a.m., she's, you know, racing back and forth trying to get things done, and she hears me listening to what was just released, the teaser trailer for Mufasa. Which dropped yesterday. It is the prequel to the 1994 film The Lion King.
Interesting.
It's CGI, but they have a cooler name for it. It's what we now call photorealistic animation.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they've been doing this. I really enjoy it because it does give it a more classic feel, but it's an updated classic feel. So just imagine like old Disney films where they were you could tell they were hand drawn.
Yeah.
But it's hand drawn but computer animated. So it's just revamped, and the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie that they did was, I think they utilized this technology. It's awesome. I really enjoy it.
If you just Google Mufasa trailer, you'll find it, and it is visually stunning.
Yeah.
And it's told through flashbacks, and it follows Mufasa as an orphaned cub and how he makes his way through blah 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 blah. But of course the minute you hit the trailer, you get the Lion King music. So here comes my millennial wife, right? Comes running in to the kitchen. Oh my God, Lion King, what's that, babe? What's that? So she watches and listens to a little bit of the trailer and she, oh my God, I'm so excited, Lion King, my movie. And I said, fine, we'll go see it. She goes, when does it come out? And I said, December 20th. Oh God damn it, why do they keep telling us? of stuff that we have to be patient for and wait. Just shut up. Tell me what. I'm like, I'm going to be getting a ton of this in 3 hours. I don't need it right now. Yes. Yeah. I mean, remember the first trailer for the sequel to The Joker?
Oh, God.
Does it even come out this year or is it next fall? Because I know we got the first trailer like 2 years ahead of time.
It might be next year. Yeah, but yeah, it's been. Oh,
great.
This is what they do just to keep you like roped in or whatever.
It's garbage, though.
Joker 2 is October 4th this year.
Okay. So it was like, I think it was 2022 then when the first trailer hit. Like, oh, my God. So yes, in December you'll get the Mufasa Lion King prequel.
Okay, you know what? Cool. That is actually not so bad. They could have said, you know, next year or in 2 years.
Yes, exactly. Right. Right.
Honestly, this seems a little quick.
That's what they're doing. See, they're training you to think that way. So it could have been like the Joker sequel instead.
I mean, wait till Christmas.
Hey, at least it's calendar
it's
year.
Yeah.
Like we're gonna be around at Christmas.
Right.
Hey.
8 weeks after a presidential election.
Damn it.
Yeah, we'll see.
All right. Christy Brinkley is one of Billy Joel's many ex-wives, and she was spotted at Billy Joel's concert in New York City last Friday. Now, the couple divorced in 1992. They have remained friends. They share a daughter.
I love that they remained friends.
Both she and Billy Joel have since moved on multiple times. They have each been married 4 total times, so jeez, 3 more times after they were married to each other.
Okay, they love love.
They got a lot in common.
Uh-huh. Now, years ago, Billy Joel confirmed that his hit song in 1983, Uptown Girl, was about Christy Brinkley.
Oh, really?
He confirmed it was written about her. Now, here's where we get to make things up, because that's what we do in society. This isn't even me. This is the reporting of it. Christy Brinkley's at his show. The father of her daughter, 30 years later, at his show. Now, Billy Joel is married.
Uh-oh.
But Christy Brinkley is out there.
Yeah.
She was just interviewed saying how she'd love to find love again. And
uh-oh.
Video shows Billy Joel performing at Madison Square Garden, Uptown Girl. And you can see Christy Brinkley elated as she sways back and forth to Uptown Girl and sings along.
Doobie doobie doo.
And at one point, and kill that audio, please, for the love of God. Thank you.
Sorry, that was my fault.
Okay. Well, then God damn it. at one point, whether or not the videos that have gone viral, because there should be so many more videos that are out there, he actually serenades her.
Wow.
He is over there singing right at her.
He's married. Hey, you don't do that.
If J-Lo and Ben can get back together decades later, so can Billy and Christy.
Yeah, sorry, wife. Mm-hmm. Where was the wife?
Yeah, exactly.
Was she there?
I'll tell you what Billy Joel came home to once that video hit.
A foot rub?
Yeah. Yeah, his wife was asleep. His staff was there waiting for him like usual.
She has no idea what happened.
Yeah, no. Still, to this moment. Like, Billy Joel's wife is spending time online, whoever she is.
She was probably like, I'm definitely not going to that concert, and you better not sing to her. And then he was like, well, we'll see what happens.
Right, you say that?
Mm-hmm. She's like, yeah, I've seen one show. I've seen them all. Have fun.
Apparently, they're only for napping, according to Kyle.
Right, yes, only old people go to Billy Joel concerts, which... Kyle has a few videos he could look at and see all the young people that are in the crowd.
I did. I saw some of that. I was like, damn it.
Yeah. You know what? Just say it's all the caregivers.
There we go. That's a great idea, Don. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. I mean, look, this whole show today is about demonstrating how stupid and lazy and dumb we are. We just make things up, et cetera. 2.5 years after Britney Spears' notorious conservatorship came to an end, there are multiple reports that the 42-year-old singer is completely dysfunctional and in serious danger of going broke. Many people are publicly calling for her to get a new conservatorship, get on some medication. People saying the conservatorship was there for a reason. This is not news. We've been reporting on this. And this is why every time I see a comedy show, whether it's John Oliver or The Daily Show or whatever, use that clip of Britney with the knives and they use it for comedic effect. I always sit there and I look and I think, how is this going to age if she pulls an Amy Winehouse? Because we are, I mean, look, if this show, this stupid show, a year ago could figure out this could not end well. The odds are not in the favor of this all ending well. Britney's gone down a very bad path. I'm shocked we haven't heard the big news yet. I'm shocked something awful hasn't happened. Whether it's she does something stupid to herself, something horrible, something deadly. it's like, how can you not see the and the, using these clips in a comedic way, I just don't think is going to play out well in the end.
So listen, Brittany has a special place in my heart because when our older nieces now were younger, Brittany was all the rage and they loved her. So we got a lot of Brittany, all right, at the house and the car, everywhere, all of it. And I what's upsetting to me is back when everyone was shouting free Britney, which I agreed, absolutely, it seemed very toxic, but it didn't mean like she shouldn't have someone watching over. Maybe it was the wrong person. But when everyone was shouting free Britney, does everyone forget she was still putting out some crazy posts that did not seem like she should not have someone looking over her? It's just, like I just said, maybe the wrong person. Now all of a sudden these people are on board. Get her a conservatorship. Like this isn't new.
Well, this is, by the way, it's not the same people. The people that are shouting for this are professionals that are watching this stuff. People that have access to various sources, et cetera. The hysterical thing is the people that were shouting free Britney, the minute she was freed, they all left. They went to their next cause.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's fair because those ones that you just said were probably also at the time going, okay, but I think she still needs help.
Which, just to fast forward past the boring stuff, that's just not how the justice system works. You don't get to say to the judge, we want to remove dad and put this person in, especially because Brittany was fighting for having none, and people have individual rights, and if a psychologist says you're fit, which somebody did, blah, blah, blah.
It's just sad. It was honestly kind of sad the day I unfollowed her because it was just it was too much to watch her. Honestly, I'm like, I'm not going to sit here and watch someone spiral like she is.
See, I hope that the worst doesn't happen with Brittany, but I also hope that she doesn't do anything with those dogs. Like,
I know.
In that video with the knives, the dogs seem terrified.
This is what I was alluding to. It could be so many things.
So many.
All right. Email rid@radbaby.com from Adam.
Hey, Adam.
Says, Rob, I thought I would write in and thank you for your recommendation of Them on Amazon. No, it's season 2 that I've mentioned. The first season that I haven't seen. My wife and I haven't seen it. But he's watching season 2. He says, the wife and me got through the first 3 episodes last night. It's excellent. It's so good that my wife went around closing all the sliding glass doors on all of our second floor balconies, even though we sleep with them open every night.
Yeah.
Mm. We look forward to finishing the series tonight. We got through. We're into episode 5 last night. And I'm fascinated by this show. It's about an LAPD detective, a black woman in 1991-92 LA, right around the Rodney King riots, which does have a backdrop in the film. It's not about the Rodney King beating and the riots later, but it sets up the precedent for what it's like to be a black cop in LA dealing with the very racist at the time LAPD. But she is trying to track down a supernatural killer, or is she? Because there's all these characters who seem like they could be the killer.
Yeah.
And I've been telling my wife from the beginning, no way, no way, no way, too obvious. It's like morons who watch Law and Order or SVU, and in the first 10 minutes they make you think who the killer is. You're like, no, that's the misdirect. Mm-hmm. The killer's going to be the guy that we're going to meet in 20 minutes or whatever.
Exactly.
But then episode 4-ish, I don't remember if it's 4 or 5, it ends with you thinking, oh, well, they just showed us who the murderer is. I'm like, this can't be right. So, and somebody wrote in yesterday and said episode 6 is when you figure it out, which I haven't seen. And then somebody said at the end of episode 8, your mind's going to be blown. It is great. It's the second most watched thing this year, movie, show of any kind on Amazon. It's called Them, The Scare. It's the second season of the series Them.
I barely got through the first episode. I don't know when or if I'll go back because I found myself just so creeped out in the house. And then also on my way to work this morning because it's quiet and dark. No one's out, right? Like through our neighborhood, it is quiet. No one's out until I can finally get on to where I'm getting here. But I don't have to give away too much geographical. And I'm like, I'm flashing back to the movie and I'm looking around and I'm like, it's like, I'm feeling torn. I'm feeling torn to watch it and then stay away. I don't know.
This would be
on hold right now.
My comment for everyone on that note that might be affected, triggered, has nightmares or whatever. They do a really good job the first couple episodes, and Dawn couldn't even get through the first one. As I said,
I'm almost done with it.
They don't show too much gore. They don't get too graphic. I understand the creepiness of it.
Yeah, it's psychological.
All of that ramps up with every episode.
Oh.
It
no.
My wife tapped out last night. That's why we stopped after episode 5.
No.
She's like, babe, you're going to go to bed soon? I can't deal with this.
This show is right up my alley. I crave things, entertainment like this. Like, I need the twists. I need the psychological twists and turns. I need the paranormal. I need all of the racial tension. Mm-hmm. I like racial tension, but that's a great element to this show. I can't wait to watch it.
And the thing is, and this doesn't spoil it for anybody, because as you watch, you'll be saying the same thing I am. And by the way, it is a pay attention show. I mean, you've got to really be locked in.
Yeah.
That's my job. That's why, you know, it takes us an hour to watch 30-minute episodes. I have to keep pausing. What, babe? If that's that. No, that's not. No, that's the kid from the beginning. No, that's not. This is a different guy. Because at episode 4, if I'm right, where they tell you this is the serial killer, they have still not established any connection between this character and everybody else in the show.
Oh, perfect.
And you're like, well, wait a minute. This doesn't explain anything. But he knows he kills like the killer, so he is the killer. But I don't know.
Yeah, see, with the racial tensions.
Very graphic.
I was wanting more of that and the aspect of like, I watching things of history like that, right? I mean, it's important for anyone. I know this isn't based. Well, it is. That is true. That is what happened. And I can absolutely see the way in which some respond that was actually occurring. And not to give anything away, but there's a guy who they're questioning who is a man of color, and he is frightened by the white person detective who's questioning him, and it's so obvious as to why. Mm-hmm. Hello, you know, and the woman who happens to be black detective, she picks up on it. Of course, the white guy's oblivious. You know, it's like, this is why he's not wanting to answer or talk to you. He is scared for his life. He just saw someone, a man of color, be beat almost to death, right? So like, I'm like, can we have more of this?
There is.
You know, as opposed I usually like the scare, the suspense.
Yeah.
And I like that. I like the heady stuff when it comes to things that are scary. But I feel like I'm getting more wussy with it the older I get. Because gore, when people say, oh, I have a scary movie for you to watch, and all it is gore and death and blood, I'm like, that's not scary.
Boring.
What's scary is the psychological stuff that messes with your mind.
And look, this is the quandary, because this is that. And the racial tension also only escalates. And my wife, who is a black woman, and I have had completely different reactions to it in that, you know... If you I was early 20s when all this was going on, and if you lived it, you know that while it's not, quote, based on a true story, all of this is how it was happening in LA. And I told my wife, as she's having her reaction during one of our pause moments, I said, this is wild for me, because I was in LA during, I wasn't working there, I was in LA, because I used to work in LA when I was a teenager in radio, and I was back down there during the Rodney King, the trial for the cops, and it was after it had gone to the jury. So I was there about a week before the riots, whoa, before they announced the decision. And it was scary. And I lived in L.A. for a year. Big cities are nothing to me. You know, I lived in a suburb of San Francisco. I was driving to San Francisco alone when I was 16. Big cities don't bother me. I've got no problems with it. And having lived in L.A. for a year, just 2 years prior to this, it was palpably scary. Like, you walked into places. I remember when I checked into my – look, I was – 20 or whatever at the time, my motel. The clerk was like, "You came here alone?" And he was a black guy. He's like,
yeah.
"You all right, boy?" I'm like, "I'll be okay, sir. Thank you very much." But I mean, everywhere you went, the city was ready to explode. And all of these things that they portray of the way the cops were behaving and how they were handling it, and they play real clips of former chief of the time Daryl Gates and what a moron he was in trying to handle this whole situation with the PR for it. It's all so real. And that's what it was doing to me. I'm like reliving it, going, Jesus Christ, this really happened this way. She's living it a different way, obviously, being reminded that this is how people of color were and still in some places are treated.
Well, and it's also, as you're talking about that, right, where it's like, this is what was, when it was occurring at the time and we were old enough to be conscious of all of it, I was conscious of it, but I'm just living my life and nothing has changed for me.
Right.
Right. So, and you're not doing that knowing it. You're just living your life how you live it. And then when you become older and you look back on that stuff, you're like, wow, I know people hate this word, but it's like, wow, what privilege. I mean, it was awful when you heard about it. And that's about as far as it went. Oh, my God, this is so sad. This is so awful that, you know, and then you just go about your day. There's nothing for me to worry about. I'm white.
So this again, this show, them, the scare, it ramps everything up that we've talked about. The psychological thriller, it does get more gory, the racial tensions. I mean, I'm only in episode 5 of 8, but it does ramp all of that stuff up. All right, back to the do we need this question, right? With prequels and sequels and reboots and redos. How about Netflix creating a live action, so real people,
okay,
TV series based on Scooby-Doo?
Oh, I okay. Scooby-Doo!
Why? We don't know anything about it. I don't know any stars. I don't know how they're going to do the dog.
Come Scooby-Doo on. Is almost like a Dolly Parton and a Willie Nelson. Who hates Scooby-Doo?
Well, this is my only concern. What if they ruin that?
See, they've been doing this for decades. They've been redoing it. They made plenty of movies already in the late 90s, early 2000s, and it's all just the same regurgitated crap. Like, if they do it in a way that's creative, puts a twist on it, makes it
campy, like, goofy, campy, like the '70s show.
Yeah, but also like a multi-generational appeal, you know. So like, it's good for the youngsters, right, and it's also good for the adults. If they could do a Pixar to it, then I'd be into it. But live action. Mm.
Yeah, I don't got a problem with it. I think it's like Brandon touched on, it's multi-generational. I think parents are gonna put it on and get their younger kids involved with it, and they can learn about Scooby-Doo and then go watch the old school cartoons if they want to. I enjoyed Scooby-Doo, so I'm excited for this.
As long as they stick to the formula, I'm good. Yeah. Pending who's starring in it, yeah, and all that, you know, sure, as long as it's all about meddling kids and not like supernatural, not political, because God forbid.
Well, see, that's where they that's where they mess it up with the other characters. You can't mess up Scooby-Doo.
Oh, you could.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Sure, you could. You could make him give a speech on animal rights every time.
Oh, no,
Raggy, wish get to the shampoo factory.
He just wants to eat a big sandwich.
Right. Well, that's how it should be.
But you can mess up the mystery machine by making it an electric vehicle.
Oh, yep. God.
See?
Oh, and they're perfect. Sitting there, and they have to sit there and have a big, huge sandwich board while they wait an hour for the damn thing
to
charge. Well,
they wouldn't show that because that's anti-EV.
When they go 23 hours later, they're still charging. That'll be in the captions.
Watch Fred make everybody put a mask on anytime they go anywhere.
Oh, God.
Oh, we got a mask up, guys.
Right? Right. Yeah. And what about the implied flirtation amongst Fred and Daphne and Velma?
Oh, yeah.
Me too. That's me too. Right. We've got to make... Actually, we're going to put Velma in charge. Fred's going to be a subordinate.
You know what? Who
can't have a straight middle-aged white man leading the mystery machine.
What's Velma's the shorter fat one?
Oh! Now we're body shaming.
No, listen, we're gonna put her on Ozempic.
Serious question.
Kids, Velma's not fat.
Serious question though. Do you know if the girls are good looking in this?
We have no word at all whatsoever on the actors, the actresses. I'm sure that they'll be completely recast, so that every possible shape, size, weight, look, etc. is represented, because this is the only way we can do things now.
So they did make a show called Velma that's on Max, I believe. And I think that Velma was openly LGBT. She was in that, I don't know what she was, if she was bisexual or if she was lesbian, but that was the main focus of that show.
Which I'm cool with, because we all knew that.
Well, yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it would just have to translate over the same.
It was before its time.
Right. I mean, it's like Bert and Ernie. We all knew it.
Oh yeah. I mean, they're bathing together.
My God.
I thought they were just good friends and roommates when I was little.
I didn't bathe with my good friends and roommates.
Come on. All right, we'll pause. We have a Treble Trouble right now, as we have a free 1 month membership to Rad TV for you at members.radradio.com. You win that, you're qualified for Friday's grand prize drawing. You'll be one of two lucky winners. Each of you will get a pair of premium tickets to see Pete Davidson live on Friday night, May 10th at Hard Rock Live in Sacramento. That would be 6th row center stage. You're going to get a 3-second song clip. You tell us the title of the song and you win. Caller 18 guesses first, then 19, then 20. And if nobody knows the song title...
Hey, Bert, want to take a bath? Rubber ducky.
Droplets everywhere and no winner.
We need a winner.
888-989-9811 for Treble Trouble.
Rob. Anybody. And Dawn. The Rob. Anybody. And Dawn Show.